Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I want to talk about the beginning of an endless friendship. The beginning of an endless friendship. I would imagine that many of you have friends that go all the way back to high school, maybe even before that. How many of you met your husband or wife in high school? Okay, so we got several of you. That did that. Any of you met in college? Okay, Mr. Opeger, you are the sole individual that met your wife and when you were in college. And let's see, was anybody else? Did I miss somebody? All right, so how many of you grew up with the individual that you ended up marrying? You grew up together, you didn't necessarily like each other at the time, but you grew up in the same area. And so nobody's raising their hand with that one, so I just let that one go. I'm not going to ask how many of you absolutely hated the person that you're married to now, way back in high school days. I don't want to embarrass anybody with that. What was that? All right, good. But I want to tell the story and about some individuals that became fast eternal friends. And it happened kind of oddly. They were walking along. There were three of them that were walking along an old road. It was well dished because it had been used for hundreds of years. People had traveled, carts, wagons, horses had traveled that trail. They were walking along, and as they were talking, it was clear to see that one of them was the leader of the group. He was a little austere to look at. He had a very deliberate a way about him. He was lean. He was muscular. His outfit was kind of strange for the times because it was an animal skin that he was wearing. And you could tell that he was not someone that was a city dweller. He was somebody that was from out in the country. And he was with two others. One of them was very educated looking. I'm not going to point out anybody that looks educated tonight because I might skip somebody that's more educated than the other. But how many of you know what I mean when I say educated looking? Nobody knows what I mean. This is Labor Day weekend, Pastor. Don't ask us any questions. Educated looking. They just have a way about them that just indicates that they've had a little bit of training. They've had some education. One of them looked that way. Well-dressed. He conversed in a way that indicated that he had schooling. And then the third one was kind of a mixture of the two. He had a little bit of a rough background, but still could converse well and did not look like someone that had lived in the country all the time, but rather kind of had a little bit of both. They were walking along this pathway, and all of a sudden they saw this stranger walking toward them. And as they went, they exchanged pleasantries, and the stranger walked on by them, and they kept on going, and one of them turned and said, "He looks so familiar. He looks so familiar." How many of you had that kind of a moment where you saw somebody and said, "I know who they are," but you just couldn't name their name? So the leader of the group said, "Well, let's go ask him." So they turn around and they catch up with him, and they begin to ask him some questions, and they engage in and all of a sudden the stranger just says, "Who are you looking for?" They were asking questions about where he was from and what was he doing and so forth, and said, what are you looking for?" Well, they didn't kind of answer that question because they didn't want to be so forward as to make it out like they were trying to figure out who he was. But this stranger said, "I want you to do something. I want you to come home with me. I've got a place that I'm staying right now. Come home with me, and we'll have a meal together." So he invited them to go with him, and that meeting that they had would be the beginning of an eternal friendship, one that would last forever. John the Baptist is the one that recorded this, gave us the information about this particular incident. Andrew was there. We don't know the identity of the third individuals per se, but Andrew had a brother, his name was Simon. And at the house, he had called his brother Simon to come over. And there, Andrew introduced Simon to Jesus, and Jesus gives him another name. He says, you are no longer Simon, you are Peter. Can you imagine going to somebody's house and they rename you? Is that kind of odd? It is to me. I mean, how many of you have been given a nickname by somebody that has stuck with you all of your life? Anybody? All right. You got a nickname? Can you say it in public? Butch. All right. So who gave that nickname to you? Your dad did. All right. So when he called you Kenneth, you knew you were in deep trouble. It wasn't Butch, right? All right, good. Did you have a nickname?
I was Sonny.
You were Sonny. You were Sonny. And very good. What was your nickname? Punk? I'm glad you clarified, you know, that it was for punkin'. Not punk like you were going around and causing people trouble in their lives. But yeah, we've all had nicknames. I had one when I was little. I was T. Texas Todd. That's because I had a favorite cowboy outfit that I wore to bed. I think Mom had made it for me. It had cowboys and Indians on it. So they started calling me T. Texas Todd. And in high school, I was Toad. And I don't know if it was because of my similar looks to a toad or what, but I was called Toad. And what was that? I was croaking all the time. Is that what you said? But, you know, you have these nicknames. But here they are. They're at the house, and Peter introduces himself as Simon. He said, oh, you're no longer Simon. You're Peter, which means what? Means rock. Petros, rock. Said, you're no longer Simon, you're Peter. God renamed him and said, follow me. And Peter left his nets and he followed Jesus. This whole chapter of John chapter 1 is the story of the disciples. But this account has always intrigued me of them walking on a road and seeing somebody that looked familiar. And so let's read about that. Let's begin reading toward the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is being interpreted a stone, or Petros is the Greek word that's behind that, which means a stone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm just going to bring a brief challenge tonight from this passage. I hope will be a blessing and help to us all. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the real life stories that you record in your word, the narrative of individuals being called to become disciples. Three of them on a road, traveling by and recognizing Jesus. I pray that you might help us to understand and know that we are to be followers of thee. And we're to be your disciples. If you've saved us by your grace, then you've called us to be disciples, followers. And so we pray, Father, that you might work in our hearts and realize that salvation is the beginning of an endless friendship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What was your beginning with Jesus Christ? I wish we had time sometime just to kind of go around. Some of you have shared your testimonies in the past, and it's always wonderful to hear people share how they came to know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. But how did your beginning with Jesus start? I've heard some of your testimonies. Some of you had a very long, long journey to Christ. You grew up maybe in a Christian home but weren't saved until later. Some of you were saved when you were children and you came to know Jesus Christ as a child. But what was your beginning with Christ? How did it start? We have a couple that's moving down here. We've been talking to this couple about the possibility of coming on staff and being a part of this ministry. And he shared his testimony of how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. He was a casino worker in Atlantic City. And he'd worked there for years. He'd been involved with some of the underworld that's a part of Atlantic City. And he got invited to a Bible study. He just was with somebody on the street, and they said, "Why don't you come with us? We got a Bible study right now, a businessman's Bible study. I'd like for you to come and be a part of that." So he came. And he said that when he walked in the room, he said he envisioned a bunch of Bible thumpers, that he called them. He said, "I really wanted nothing to do with Christianity. I figured they were all hypocrites anyway." But he said, "I sat down in that group, and one of the men stood up and prayed. And then they said, 'Open your Bibles to this passage.'" And he began to share teachings from God's Word. And he saw how intently the businessmen that were around this particular table were just reading along and following. Some of them were taking notes. He had never been exposed, really, to true believers in Christ. He was taken aback by the fact that these men seemed to all be serious. And so after the Bible study was over, they all exchanged pleasantries. "Thank you for coming today. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And he said, "No, I always considered Christians just to be a bunch of hypocrites, talking one way and living another. But," he said, I see a little bit of difference here in this group. I've never really been involved in a Bible study, so this is the very first time." And the talk went on for hours after that. The men stayed and talked to him and led this man to Christ. He said he knew immediately what he had to do. He went and turned in his resignation because he said, "I was involved in things that were clearly illegal." And he said, I left all of that behind. And he said he began to pray about what the Lord would want him to do. Here he was, an older fella, having trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And what am I going to do now? I've lost a very good paying job. And we've got this expensive home, and we got to be able to take care of that. And so he began to pray, and he went home to his wife, and he said, "Honey, I quit the casino." But he was able to lead her to Christ. It took some time, but he was able to lead his wife to Christ, and they became members of a small Bible fellowship there in Atlantic City and began to grow in their faith. And before long, this particular church, which had a Christian school, asked him, "Do you have any kind of an educational background?" He said, "Well, I've been to college. I didn't finish my degree in business, but I've had college background," and so forth, and said, "Would you like to be the administrator of our small Christian school?" And he said, "I don't know what came over me," but he said, "I just said, yes." Because he said, "I knew I had been praying and asking God, what am I supposed to do?" Sold his house, downsized, and became an administrator of a Christian school. Never done that before in his life. But he said the Lord just blessed, not a big school, less than 50 students, but he became the administrator and served there for many years. And I learned that testimony as he shared that, about how God just changed his life in a what he thought was a chance Bible study. But it was through that meeting that he came to know Jesus Christ, and he said, "I've got a forever friend now." He said, "All the other friends were upset with me, especially in the racketeering realm, that I was going to go and I was going to expose them with all their stuff." And he said, I did share some things with the local police department about some of the things that they might want to check out. But he said many of the people that were in that particular police department had already turned an eye to it, so it didn't make any difference. But he said they kept calling me, asking me, what was wrong? What were you thinking to go get religion? You're one of our best guys. You're one of the ones we go to. And now we can't go to you anymore. What are we going to do?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I'll tell you about my Jesus." And he said, click, the phone would close. They didn't want to hear it. He said, "I should never have been saved, but God saved me by His grace." His beginning was a radical transformation that took place. And now he has the Lord Jesus Christ as his friend. He feels that the Lord would have him move down here because he wants to finish his degree. and he wants to be involved in some type of full-time ministry while he's doing that. He doesn't have that many courses to take, from what I understand, but he wants to be involved. And, you know, it's just a wonderful testimony of how God can change a life and make you his eternal friend in just a matter of minutes. Very quickly, there are three steps that begin service for Christ in this eternal friendship. Number one, they looked at Jesus and thought they recognized him. What did John call him when he saw him? He said, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Now, not many of us would say something like that, would we? But John had a spiritual heart. His spiritual eyes identified the Savior. By the way, he was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Now, I don't know why they didn't recognize each other immediately, but we're living days in which we see each other quite often. In those days, you traveled about and you walked everywhere you went. It's not like you could get somewhere quickly. But John called him the Lamb of God. They looked at Jesus. Notice this, please. Verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. He looked. He saw Jesus. You know what looking at Jesus does? It changes us. We're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we're told in the book of Hebrews. We're to look unto Jesus. We're to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Over and over again, the Bible refers to us as believers to look to Jesus. How many times, parents or grandparents, have you told your grandchildren or your children, look at me. Look at me. If I ever have to do discipline problems, which thankfully I don't do a whole lot of that anymore. I used to do it a lot. But I always, when the kids would come in there, and I'd make them stand at my desk. I wouldn't let them sit. They had to stand at my desk. They had to look at me. And if they looked away or looked down, I'd say, stop. Look at my eyes. Look at Mr. Brainerd's eyes. Don't take your eyes off my eyes. They didn't want to do that. But I wanted to search their soul. I wanted to look into their eyes. And they slowly would begin to melt. Some of that hardness and rebellion would begin to melt. Why? Because someone was looking directly at them. You've probably known someone in your life that just had that kind of a look at them. When they looked at you, you just started talking and telling them everything you ever did that was wrong. I'll tell you, somebody who was like that was John Ashbrook, Pastor John Ashbrook, up in Mentor, Ohio. We used to, on vacations, when we'd go up there to see my dad's family, we would go to his church. And he just had one of those presence. He was a very, he walked straight. You know, I walk with a little bit of a slump, but he walked straight everywhere he went. And when he looked at you, he looked right into your soul, all the way through you to the other side of the wall. He just had that ability. And when you were standing there, he never talked much. He would just stand there and look at you, and all of a sudden you'd just start talking. And he wouldn't say a whole lot. Every once in a while he'd speak up. But he had that ability just to look at you and just cause you to just feel a little bit unsettled. Why is he looking at me that way? He knows something. And you just start talking. You know, looking at the Lord Jesus changes us. It changes us. And secondly, looking at Jesus changes the world for us. Look at verse 50, further down. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Remember Nathanael? And Nathanael was taken by the fact that Jesus said, I saw you sitting under a fig tree. I knew it was you. Because Nathanael asked, how did you know it was me? And Jesus said, I saw you under a fig tree. But Jesus doesn't end it there. He said, I told you I saw you under a fig tree. You were taken aback by the fact that I have this kind of knowledge. All right? I wasn't physically there looking at you, but I saw you under the fig tree. And he says to him, thou shalt see greater things than these. You know, God can do powerful things. We are watching this world hurtling toward the culmination of the ages. Amen? We're seeing how Antichrist could come rise to the top. We are seeing how all the nations are starting to join together in these unified pacts, Russia and China. Does that bode well in prophecy? Oh, yeah. We were told 22 million come from the Far East. Well, that's China. All right? They've got the massive population there. And you see the connection with Russia. And all of these different groups, Iran and Russia and China, they're all forming these unions together. That's leading us to the end time. There are great things that are going to be taking place. Looking at Jesus changes our understanding of the world. I know where I am in this world. I know where things are going in this world because Jesus has shown it to us in His Word. We are able to see greater things. Looking to Jesus changes you and it changes your view of the world. Secondly, they heard Jesus speak. Look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard Him speak and they followed Jesus. They heard Him speak, and what was their response? They followed Jesus. Jesus was able to communicate in such a way that it drew their hearts unto His heart. And the result of that was to follow Him. This is the great testimony of what transformation in Christ is all about. If you want to follow someone else other than Jesus, then you haven't been drawn. You're going in another direction. But as a disciple of Jesus Christ, your heart is knit with Jesus and you follow Him. We follow Him when we study and read His Word. And He shares with us His will, His written will with us. Listening to His words change us. I think all of us can give testimonies of how God has just brought a special word of grace through His Word that just gave you the answer of what you needed to do in a given situation. I've seen that so many times through the years where the Lord would just reveal, and you read that and said, that's the answer. That's the answer about what I'm supposed to do. And God revealed it in His Word. He spoke His words, and we followed. That's a glorious testimony of living the Christian life. And then thirdly, what was their response? They saw Him, they looked upon Him, they heard His words, and then they talked about Jesus. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, this is Andrew, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. We have found the Messiah. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you talking to others about Jesus? You see, being a follower of Jesus means we want to talk about Him to others. We want to share the good news. This brother went home. His brother wasn't with him on that walk when they first met the Lamb of God. But he went home and he said, Simon, we have seen the promised Messiah. Come with me. Grabs him up. Let's go. You know, we need to do better at that. Do I hear an amen? We need to do better about that. There are people in our purview, in our place of ministry, in our workplace, or maybe it's in our sphere of influence with family and friends and so forth, that are people that are lost, and we're not telling them about our Jesus. We're not telling them about the person that can transform their life. Andrew went and got his brother and said, let's go. I want you to see the Messiah, and brought him to the Messiah. And Jesus changed his name. He said, you're Cephas now. You're Petros, Peter. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says Peter dropped his nets, and he followed Jesus. This chance encounter transformed the lives of these men, and they began an eternal friendship that continues to this very hour and will continue on into eternity. Amen? Do you have that kind of friendship? Have you looked unto Jesus? Have you heard His words? Are you talking about Him? That's what a true friendship reveals. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the testimony of these men on that old road, walking through, recognizing Jesus, though not immediately, we're told in other passages. I pray that You would help us to understand that when we were saved, we began a brand new friendship that will last for all eternity. But that friendship means something. It means looking to Him. It means hearing Him. But it also means talking about Him, sharing Him with others. Lord, I pray that You would stir us up tonight. There are friends that we live with and work with that need Jesus desperately. And we're the ones to tell them. Help us, dear Father, to take our friendship with Thee seriously, and that we might tell others, just like Andrew grabbed his brother and said, "Let's go. We're going to go meet the Messiah." Help us to do the same. Help us to be conscious of those around us that are lost. And may we be faithful in our witness, not just talking, but also living a life that demonstrates that we're followers of Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.